Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. After receiving a tie vote at Planning Committee, a 40-room development at 92 Napier Road came before Council with no recommendation, leaving Council to debate the matter at their meeting on Tuesday, August 12th. The proposal, brought forward by Amber Peak Developments, calls for the construction of four 10-bedroom buildings at 92 Napier Road, a development that would mostly be marketed towards students. To make this possible, Amber Peak is seeking both an official plan amendment and a zoning bylaw amendment to rezone the site from general open space to urban residential space. The suggestion triggered a strong community response. Many residents spoke at last month's planning committee meeting, voicing opposition to the project. A petition opposing the development garnered 332 signatures. Opponents argued that allowing high-density student housing in the quiet, family-oriented neighborhood could lead to increased noise, heavier traffic, and contribute to existing residents relocating, many of whom work in local businesses, the nearby hospital, and educational institutions. Councillor Vincent Shinani, who sits on Planning Committee, described the meeting.
At Planning Committee, it was divisive in a way. For me, rezoning from open space to anything else, it would have to be a really good reason. It had to be a really good benefit to the community. And I don't think that this is it. Living where I live, you see like what happens with this type of housing, moving further and further west. It just drives everyone away, and then it becomes like families move away, there's schools nearby. It just totally changes the character of the neighborhood. And I think that moving forward, having spoken to a lot of the community members, there's a lot more support in density near the university versus moving further and further west.
For councillors like Shinani, who are opposed, the core concern was that the development would introduce student housing into one of the last streets in the area that is not student-focused. The proposal's potential rent, estimated at around $1,000 per bedroom, also heightened concerns. Councillor Connie Glenn summarized these fears before council.
So let's be honest about what we're turning this into, and we are putting this, we're making this into a student ghetto. It's one of the last pockets where there's a family, where there's family-oriented housing. People walk their kids to school. Neighbors know each other's names. It's a community built on long-term relationships. I'm certainly not anti-student, as everyone I think is aware, but it brings a different rhythm to the area. It's late-night turnover, noise complaints, short-term occupancy. It's a dynamic that's already saturating so much of the district. And so if we want families to live downtown, work downtown, then we need to make sure that we're providing space for them. And it's not about blaming students. It's also about providing balance. And it's not good for students either. Students are a vital part of our city, and they contribute a lot to it. But they can't afford what's being offered for the most part. And we heard at Planning Committee that these units, these bedrooms, I should say, would be $1,000 a piece. There'll be 40 students minimum here. That's $40,000 coming out of this. That's about profit. Now, I'm not above making a profit. I own a business. But we need a better vision for our city, and this isn't it. Students need safe, affordable housing, and they don't need to be in overpriced apartments in neighborhoods where they're going to have tensions with the permanent residents that are there.
Another key consideration for councillors was the risk of appeal to the Ontario Land Tribunal if the proposal was rejected. Mayor Patterson acknowledged the likelihood that the city would lose such an appeal.
I've never said this before, but I'll just say we have a 100% chance of losing at the OLT. Not even like a 95% chance, a 100% chance of losing. And quite frankly, I think the way that would look, I think is terrible.
Councillor Gary Osteroff, who was against the development, noted the difficult position this potential outcome puts council in.
We're handcuffed. I don't know. I don't think we should be spending the money to fight it. We know we're going to lose it. And so, you know, it's us to deal with the province. So I'm just going to, I don't know. I'm speechless.
Both Mayor Patterson and Councillor Ryan Boehm expressed confusion at the intensity of the opposition, noting that new housing is a top city priority.
I'm a bit stunned, actually, by the discussion around the table tonight. We've put policies in place. We have a development application that meets those policies. And now we would go to the OLT and argue against the very policies that we put in place for the housing. I appreciate where the community is coming from. I don't want to minimize that in any way. Obviously, you know, we're trying to find a compromise, leave some green space there, allow some sustainability for the Lawn Bowling Club to continue. But quite frankly, we've also tried to push towards more integrated neighborhoods and not put all of the student housing, lump it in one area of the city as well. So I'm a bit exasperated, to be honest, by the discussion around the table. But obviously, I would encourage council to be consistent with the direction that we've taken as a council up until now, which is to say housing is a priority. All housing matters.
Let's no longer be the roadblock to getting more housing built. Because if in the end, this does, for whatever reason, end up the specter of the OLT there, we will lose. But all we've done then is increase the costs, spent a bunch more money, and wasted a lot of effort, and delayed the incoming supply of housing units that we so badly need. And to be honest, we're asking for. It's like we're our own worst enemy at times. We ask for something, somebody offers it, and then we go, well, yeah, no, but not really like that. We want something different here. And if we do that for every housing development, somebody needs to explain to me why we even have an official plan.
Ultimately, council voted 7-6 against approving the required official plan and zoning bylaw amendments, halting the development for the time being. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is part 9 of our OUA football season preview, and today we're looking at the Western Mustangs. Western's quest for a fourth consecutive Yates Cup was thwarted by the Laurier Golden Hawks last year, and neither of those games were even close. Western lost by 3 scores in both the regular season game and their playoff rematch, two shocking results that sent reverberations through the OUA. This Mustang squad will run it back with a number of key veterans returning, including quarterback Evan Hillock, wide receiver Seth Robertson, defensive back Kojo Odum, and defensive lineman Malcolm Frazier. Though they have some key returners, this team did also lose 6 starting caliber players to the CFL, including wide receiver Mohsen Jamal, defensive tackle Max von Mueldorfer, offensive lineman Eric Anderson, and running back Keanu Yazbek. Look, as long as Greg Marshall mans the helm, the Mustangs will be a top 5 team in the country. There's no doubt about that. They start their season on the road at Richardson August 23rd, and I think Queens will finally be able to overcome the Mustangs and snap their 14-game losing streak. They got close in 2023. I think this year they will break through. Other than that, I think Western will take care of business with some scares against Guelph and Laurier and cruise to a 7-1 record. I think they will slot into the top of the OUA by virtue of a lopsided points for and points against ratio, which is something this team is known for. They'll be the top seed in the OUA, but it won't be as unanimous as it has been in seasons past. That's a wrap for today's sports report. Stop by again on Wednesday for part 10 of this OUA season preview as we take a look at the defending Yates Cup champion, Laurier Golden Hawks. This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. Monday, August 18th, Daytime high of 22 degrees and a pretty pleasant sunny day here in the city of Kingston. Low humidity and a medium UV index of 7. Perfect late summer day. Tuesday, August 19th. Occasional morning rain and drizzle. Otherwise, it's going to be sunny in the afternoon. Daytime high of 23, feeling closer to 24. Wednesday, August 20th. Breezy in the morning and cloudy throughout the day. Daytime high of 21, feeling closer to 20. Thursday, August 21st. It's going to be a beautiful sunny day here in the city of Kingston. Breezy in the morning, a little bit of cloud, but mostly brilliant sunshine. High of 25. That actually feels like 25. Friday, August 22nd, daytime high of 24 with lots of sun in the forecast. Saturday, August 23rd, it's looking like it's going to be a perfect day for the Queen's football home opener against the Western Mustangs. Daytime high of 26, feeling closer to 27. A slight possibility of rain later in the afternoon, but it should be a beautiful summer Saturday. Sunday, August 24th, mostly cloudy with the possibility of a thunderstorm here in the Kingston region. Daytime high of 24, feeling closer to 25. And to kick off next week, Monday, August 25th, daytime high of 22, 70% chance of rain. Otherwise, sunny throughout the day. Public Services and Procurement Canada wishes to advise the public that the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to vehicles, cyclists, and pedestrians to allow for the temporary opening of the main marine navigation channel on Sunday, August 24th from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Here are this week's relevant road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Cataraqui Woods Drive, Rosanna to Holden is closed until August 28th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day for roundabout upgrades. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Middle Road, Joyceville to Highway 2 is closed until August 22nd from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day to complete culvert relining. South Bartlett Street, Smith to Victoria is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen is closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Victoria Street, Princess to North Bartlett is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. And Woodburn Road, Hitchcock to Whitechurch is closed for a contractor to complete culvert relining. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson. Expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Catwoods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners. Expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, San Beta Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle. Expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Avenue, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Avenue. Work includes curb, sidewalk, asphalt milling, and repaving. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper. Expect delays while a contractor completes construction of a new sidewalk and road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users. And Victoria Street and Earl Street. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes the site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Now coming up, we'll have a look at some great community events running in Kingston and the area this week. On Monday, the Kingston Frontenac Public Library has a full day of activities across its branches. At the Central Branch from 9 a.m. to noon, technology tutors are available by appointment for one-on-one tech help. At the Rideau Heights Branch from 10 a.m. to noon, Older Adults Day Out offers special activities with Kingston Community Health Centers. Over at the Sydenham Branch, children ages 3 to 5 can climb aboard a school bus for story time from 10:30 to 11 a.m. In the afternoon, the Central Branch hosts Bebot Adventures from 2 to 3 p.m. for kids 6 and up, teaching coding with playful robots. That one is waitlist only.
At Calvin Park from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m., newcomers can join the English Conversation Circle to practice language in a friendly setting. And wrapping up the day, the Central Branch hosts Crafts and Create from 6 to 7:30 p.m., where folks can work on projects, use makerspace tools, and share ideas with fellow makers. On Tuesday, Salsa in the Square runs from 6:30 to 10 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Start with a beginner Latin dance lesson, then join La Vida and friends for line dancing, followed by an open dance floor with salsa, bachata, merengue, and reggaeton, free and open to all ages. On Wednesday, it's Games in the Square from 6 to 8 p.m. Drop by Springer Market Square to play Giant Snakes and Ladders, Connect Four, chess, cornhole, and more. Or bring your own favorite game. It's free and family-friendly. On Thursday, Stories in the Square begins at 10:30 a.m. in the City Hall Amphitheater with stories, songs, and fun from the Kingston Frontenac Public Library. If the weather turns bad, it moves indoors to the Central Branch. In the evening, Life Drawing at Art Noise runs from 6 to 8 p.m., giving artists of all skill levels a chance to practice with a live model for just $10. And Stories in the Square presents Inside Out 2 at dusk in Springer Market Square. Bring your own lawn chair and enjoy this free outdoor screening under the stars. On Friday, The Loaf and Ale hosts Music Trivia with Terry from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Test your musical knowledge, enjoy a drink, and spend a fun night out with friends. On Saturday, head to Springer Market Square from 11 a.m. to noon for a chef demo by Olivea. Watch a locally inspired dish come together and sample it afterwards for just $2. Then from 1 to 3 p.m., the Adult Hide and Seek fundraiser takes place starting at City Hall. Teams of five compete within set boundaries to raise funds for the Friends of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library. Registration details are available by emailing ygktrivia@gmail.com. And on Sunday, Yoga in the Park runs from 10 to 11 a.m. in Battery Park. It's a free outdoor session led by a local instructor, so bring your own mat and enjoy the waterfront vibes. Later, the Brock Street Street Party runs from noon to 4 p.m., closing the street from King to Wellington. There will be exclusive shopping, a wandering bar, free samples, games, live music, and more. It's free and open to all ages. Have a community event you would like shared on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. Hey folks, I'm Ellie Sturton, and coming up are your live music events happening around town this week. On Monday, the RCHA hosts Jazz Society Mondays from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. with Inner Harbor Jazz, playing classics inspired by Billie Holiday, Carmen McRae, and Diana Krall. Later, Cuban pianist Danae Alano performs at Hotel Wolf Island from 7 to 9 p.m. with her blend of classical and Afro-Cuban jazz. Cover is just $15 or pay what you can. On Tuesday, the Poulenc Trio performs twice at St. Paul's Presbyterian Church. From 11:15 to noon is a free children's concert, followed by their full set at 3:15 as part of the Waterside Summer Series. Tickets are $45 for adults and $22.50 for youth. That evening, Karaoke for a Cause runs from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Cove Inn, raising funds for Prevent Another Westport Stray with $10 admission. At 7:30, Time Out Bar and Bistro presents Quirks of Human Nature, a free evening of poetry, prose, and music hosted by Meg Freer and Deborah Shermans. And at Hotel Wolf Island from 9 to 10:30 p.m., El Balcón bring Mexican folk fused with global sounds for $20 admission or pay what you can. On Wednesday at Springer Market Square, Swingin' Summer continues from 7 to 8 p.m. with the Dixie Six in a free outdoor jazz concert. At the Broom Factory, fingerstyle guitar master Alexandra Misco performs from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Tickets are $35 for early birds or $43 for general admission. On Thursday, the Brownman Electric Trio plays the Cove Inn from 6 to 9 p.m. with a high-energy mix of funk, hip-hop, soul, and jazz for a $10 cover. The Kingston Blues Society Tribute Weekend opens at the RCHA from 7 to 11 p.m. with four back-to-back acts and tickets just over $22. Tiernanogue also features blues from 8 to 11 p.m. with Timothy Campbell, Tony Vanney, and Kenny Paws, and Matt Smith for $10. And Daft Brewing hosts Queerioke from 8 to 11 p.m. for just $5, welcoming the LGBTQ+ community and allies. On Friday, Time Out Bar and Bistro has Scott and Kate playing from 3 to 5:30 p.m., then Wildcard at 6 p.m. The Furball Cruise sails from 6 to 8 p.m. with live music from our band aboard Rockport Boat Lines. Raising funds for the Gananoque District Humane Society, tickets are just $33. At 7 p.m., Kickin' It Country brings Chelsea Road to Springer Market Square with free line dancing starting at 6. The Blues Society continues at the RCHA with Big Mo and the Blues Mission, followed by Angelique Francis. Tickets are just over $33. And at Base 31, Rock the Country opens with I Mother Earth at 7:30 p.m., with tickets ranging from $65 to $268. Folks can finish the night at Tiernanog with the J Blues Trio and Jeff Dunn from 8 p.m. to midnight for just $10. On Saturday, Tiernanog hosts Sarah Sokol and Sonia Bergen from 10 a.m. to noon for a $10 admission. At Sydenham and Princess, see Panache A Play for a family-friendly set with puppets from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Saturday sessions at Confederation Park run from noon to 6 p.m. with a free tribute to the Limestone City Blues Festival. Folks can see Night Sun perform at Leopard Frog Farm from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. with tickets for $30. Juniper Cafe hosts summer live music from 4 to 6 p.m. alongside artist Sydney Cox from Heartspire doing live sketching. The Kingston Blues Society Tribute Weekend wraps up at the RCHA with Blue Sill and the Sweet Home Band, joined by Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Maurice John Vaughn from 7 to 11 p.m. Tickets are just $39. And Rock the County closes with Big Wreck at 7:30 p.m. at Base 31. Tickets range from $65 to $268. And don't miss the Garvin Brothers performing free at Joel Stone Heritage Park at 7:30 p.m. On Sunday, live music Sundays at Finkel's Shore Park run from 2 to 5 p.m. with live sets from Mellow Lily, John McClurg, and Frank Ryan. Then at 3 p.m., catch Christopher Jackson, Wayne Riley, and John McClurg in a free show at Time Out Bar and Bistro. Finally, at Hotel Wolf Island from 3:30 to 6 p.m., Deborah Shermans and Jazzy perform evocative piano compositions and dreamy indie pop. Have a local concert that you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.